Let us pray. Most gracious God, look with mercy upon your family gathered here, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, given into sinful hands, and suffered death upon the cross. Strengthen our faith and forgive our betrayals as we enter the way of his passion. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.
My God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads.
He committed his cause to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws.
You lay me in the dust of death.
They have pierced my hands and feet.
They divide my garments among them, but my raiment they cast off.
But you, O Lord, be not far off.
Thank you. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this.
He made all the plans, arranged for the room, the meal, the presence of his friends. And when they sat down, his eagerness overflowed him. "I have ached for this," he said. "I have longed so much for you to be with me before I suffer." Was there a catch in his voice? Did they look at each other, disturbed by the sound of his need for them? Who were they, anyway, that he should want their company so much? Inept, clueless, they had nothing to offer him. Yet he tells them that he earnestly longs for them. Truth is, they won't be with him. In this room, they'll miss his point. When he asks them later to pray with him, they'll sleep, and then they'll run for their lives. So much for his longing for them. But there is no love without longing in it. And utter love is utter longing. Christ is still sighing for his friends. Poor company as we are, he gazes at us and says tonight, "And I have longed for you." With such longing in him, he will die.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want. He came back and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Some versions of the Bible say that in Gethsemane, as he prayed to be spared, an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength, but that did not happen. The earliest manuscripts say not one word about a strengthening angel. Some later scribe put it in to make the story less awful. Jesus saw no angel. He got no strengthening help from heaven. When he prayed 3 times to be spared, it was to a stone cold silence. And when he said, Not my will, but yours be done, the answer came as silence. And so he thought of his friends who were close by praying. Would one of them, just one, be a strengthening angel for him? But they were passed out asleep, as absent as God. For hours he went back and forth between the silence of God and the oblivion of his friends. Look at him there. The lone figure in the shadows, shuddering, unconsoled. He is bearing more than the sins of the world. He is bearing all the world's loneliness.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man? When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, Lord, should we strike with the sword? Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, No more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
To be sure, it was a moment of panic. Men were suddenly looming out of the shadows, coming at them with swords and clubs. Peter drew a sword, slashed it blindly, and struck a man's head, severing his ear. Jesus shouted, "No more of this!" These, of all words, were the last words he spoke to his disciples before he died. No more of this. And one cannot help but wonder, of all the ways they broke his heart, was this the most crushing? After all these years, this bloody proof that they had never understood him at all, was he to die now, having completely failed to change them? And here we are, just like them, self-defended, inwardly panicked, lashing out, wounding. "No more of this," he says. And as his disciples, flailing with their swords, flee into the night again and again, he calmly gives himself into the hands of his well-armed captors to die by the violence of us all.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later still, another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And at that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
Peter had not meant to raise his voice, but these people wouldn't let it alone. He had wanted only to stay near, like a dog who will not leave his master, but they kept accusing him of being with Jesus. He told them 3 times he wasn't, and finally cursed, shouting that he knew nothing of Jesus, which by this time was pretty much true. And then 2 things happened. He heard a rooster crow, and he saw Jesus, who turned and looked at him. When Peter would rather have looked anywhere in the world but at the Lord looked at him. What do you think Peter saw in those eyes? Let us not suppose that it was rebuke. Since Jesus had already told him that this would happen, was it a wincing pain in Jesus' eyes? Weary now of so many desertions all piling up. It was more than this. What Peter saw in the eyes of Jesus now was inexorable love for him. That's what set him so bitterly weeping. Those very eyes look also to us tonight. Where shall we hide from such love? And what breaking of our hearts remains to be done?
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, the King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Maybe Pilate says it with a flourish, or maybe he says it with a sneer. Standing Jesus in front of the people, he says, "Behold the man." Part of his joke is that by this point, Jesus looks less like a man than like a bleeding piece of meat. Torn open by the sharp bits of iron and bone embedded in the whip. And his face is wrecked, his eyes swollen shut from the beating. On his shoulders, the ridiculous robe. On his head, the spiking thorns. He can hardly stand. "Get a good look," says Pilate, "the man." And what we behold is man, humankind, laid bare for what it is. Behold our violence, our scapegoating rage. Behold the human, the beautiful made hideous, image of God defaced, royal nature made obscene, the beloved unutterably broken. See what ruined love looks like. Pilate doesn't know it, but he's pointing to a mirror. Behold yourselves. like them, we don't like what we see in the mirror. Little wonder that we smash it.
After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ah, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
Thank you.
From noon on, darkness came over the world, that whole land, until 3 in the afternoon. And at about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some in the crowd heard it, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." And one of them went and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last.
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
We must turn our faces now to look any more at his dead body hanging there. It is too terrible. Earlier he had looked at us so hauntingly, but now he is staring at nothing. We heard him groaning for God to forgive us. But that prayer and all others have fallen to silence. The crowd is going home now, lamenting, beating their breasts. Our hearts, too, are broken. There is nothing left but to offer our grief for him and our reawakened awe of him. And our trembling.
takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace.
Now may Jesus Christ, who for our sakes became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, bless us and strengthen us this night and forevermore. Amen.